Hello, Gabriel here. It is Friday, April 10th, 2026, and things are going very well. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of going on my first rollerblading trip, a little bit of practice in however long. I don't believe I have rollerbladed since I was a child. I was feeling quite good, and I decided to finally get my safety gear ready, and I went on my first practice rollerblading session. For about an hour, I was practicing the basics. I was going around kind of getting a feel for where kind of better places to rollerblade were, places I can practice easier. I eventually settled on a nearby parking lot, and I absolutely had a really nice time. It was great to go fast. It was great to feel the wind up against me as I really moved faster than I have in a very, very long time. It was not that long ago that I felt entirely confined in my body, and that even walking around for over 10 minutes felt like something that was unbearable, and I would be very much sore after, and I would complain during it. Whereas today I am now, you know, regularly walking over 10,000 steps a day, sometimes even 20,000 steps in a day lately. I am very glad to be having a high step count and it feeling like something I can manage quite well. And been exercising on top of that, and it really seems to have all paid off, because this particular session of rollerblading with my new skates, I was so happy that it really felt a lot easier than I expected. I was genuinely shocked, I tell you, that I was expecting it to be very arduous. I was expecting to feel weak. I was expecting to honestly encounter all the same barriers I've had every time I've expanded my mobility and capacity up until this point. And so it was strange for things to kind of just work. I have to thank many people for helping me get to this point, but also my twin brother did a great job of sending me a very useful inline skating tutorial that definitely does a good job at helping start out. And I think I did a decent job implementing some of the tips. The thing I was very much focused on is, oh, can I keep my back straight while bending my knees bent so I can actually have the proper posture while skating? And yes, there were some deviations. I'm still very new at this, but honestly, I felt very comfortable with it, and I'm still gotta practice stopping. There's definitely more to learn, but for a first attempt, it went way, way better than I expected. And truthfully, this is the fastest I've gone in many years, probably 8 years in general. And I can't describe, but I will try to, just how surreal it was to go from feeling imprisoned in my body at my highest, feeling entirely incapable, to just practicing rollerblading around my neighborhood, skating throughout this sidewalks, and getting a couple of laps in at a nearby parking lot. It was strange, because what I really felt when I was on those skates and I actually started moving, I felt fit, I felt active, I felt capable in a way that truthfully, I really haven't up until this point. Yes, I've been lifting, yes, I've been walking, I've been doing all these exercises, but what I had really missed the most from when I was biking all the time is being able to go fast. I knew I missed it, but I didn't know just how much I miss feeling the wind brush against me as I move faster than my ordinary walking pace. And it really was an incredible feeling. It was very gratifying. It was so nice to finally do something that, to me, to be blunt, makes me actually feel like I have concrete proof that I've actually accomplished something. And maybe that sounds ungrateful, maybe that sounds greedy, but I can honestly say it truly wasn't until I got on to those skates and I started rolling around the neighborhood at a faster than I'm used to going speed, but at the same time was very familiar. It reminded me of all those times growing up where I would like to bike around, and I would rollerblade even as a kid. And, you know, for me, biking was my primary mode of transportation for so long throughout my life. And so as I had gained weight, as I had broken a tire or two and really struggled with basically hitting limitations caused by my increased size, that really brought me down in many ways, because I especially worried that because I was no longer able to exercise, that I would no longer be able to fix things on some level. And so to me, being able to go fast again so early, you know, spring is kind of just started, really, really means so much to me. And it is very crazy to think it was not that long ago, even in some of these recordings where I was constantly complaining about how difficult walking was and how difficult everything I'm trying to do was. It really hasn't been that long in the grand scheme of things. And I guess I can say it's finally starting to sink in that yes, things have changed, I'm doing better, and that there are more opportunities and things to enjoy. And in fact, as somewhat of an experiment, because somewhat of my daily routine lately has been, you know, having a decently sized breakfast, because, well, you know, that's kind of a way I keep myself satiated throughout the day. But the thing is I've noticed that day yesterday, when I went skating in the morning, instead of eating in the morning and I got to, you know, go out and do something active, I actually didn't feel the hunger. I had kind of disjointed that, at least for that day. I still ate, you know, during the day. I'm still following the food plan I've kind of sort of concocted over the last little bit, but that's all going incredibly well. So much so that I hit a new low recently. I actually hit 289, well, a hair below it, but I'm just rounding up here. And so that means I have gotten further away from 300, which is really what makes it impactful for me, because I was very, very concerned that 300 was a hard limit that I wouldn't be able to consistently stay below. And well, I'm finally at the point where that was the case. And this new low puts me in the territory where I'm now fighting to get deeper into the 280s. And I'm realizing, because it's not going to go as quickly as when I started, I need to take the victories as they come and be more excited every 10 pounds I go down, because, well, 10 pounds now is probably equivalent to a much higher numerical value at my higher stages. You know, when I was 500 pounds, 10 pounds felt like nothing, but I'm realizing just how much of a fight every pound or every 10 pounds is at my current size. But I'm enjoying moving, I'm enjoying getting around, and it has been somewhat of whiplash getting over my back injury and having such a phenomenal, like, high, a great, you know, fun experience that, you know, lately lifting has been quite difficult and frustrating. Lifting has been kind of a balancing act of not being too frustrated with not being back to where certain lifts were pre-injury. You know, my favorite lift, the overhead press, has definitely suffered from that injury, and I think I'm like mostly recovered, but I haven't been keeping up the intensity, and so I think I let it regress a bit much. And so ultimately I just have to be patient with the fact that I will make a new record if I consistently put the effort back in to getting up there. But I did want to be patient as I got back into the swing of things, because I didn't want to do the all too typical mistake of rushing it and just causing further injuries. But I am patiently trying to get back to it. I slowly began reintroducing lifting as I started to feel better. And even today, while I didn't break any records, I didn't hit any new numbers, but with a slightly lower weight than I was using before, I am back to overhead pressing again. And so as long as I can bear with the frustration and anger over being behind and not lifting as much as I used to, I can at least get back to it and I can continue to make progress. But one of the recent lessons I've kind of learned throughout this situation was that when I hurt my back, I noticed that being stronger in other areas helped make enduring that so much easier. For instance, because my legs were stronger, certain movements where, you know, you can lift with your legs instead of your back like you're supposed to in many instances, that was something that was still available to me. And so I'm appreciating the benefits of being strong in a well-rounded way. And that's what excites me so much about taking on this new rollerblading skill, is that like I'll be able to round myself out even better that way. And so I'm very much excited and looking forward to that. So I'm being careful, I swear, I promise, I definitely am doing what I can to be reasonable about it. I started overhead pressing again lately, but with much lower weights. Something that I honestly would say I feel ashamed to be back at, which is funny just how much our self-expectations can change so rapidly. You know, it really was not that long ago that I would have been happy to just be able to walk around as comfortably as I do now. And here I am still being harsh on myself for, oh, well, you can't lift as much as you used to, blah, blah, blah. It's funny. It really is. And I'm trying to take it in stride, if nothing else. It is a useful reminder that, you know, being careful still counts. It's a valuable lesson in the fact that there are going to be setbacks and things are going to be difficult. But I'm really just so happy that spring is here and I get to go fast and I get to try new things. So despite being a little disappointed in being not as proficient in my lifts as I would like, I have been progressing well in other areas. I am continuing to sleep during the proper hours, although I am still trying to get to sleep earlier and earlier where possible, but that is still very much a fight. The good news is I am waking up early. I am slowly trying to become more of a morning person, and part of that was choosing to go rollerblading in the morning rather than in the evening on a day I had off. It was a calculated decision to kind of get myself into the mindset that, like, I can do things in the morning, which, as shocking as that may be, is actually somewhat of a foreign concept to me. I am struggling with this haze above me when, like, I wake up and it's like normally I would like spend time just trying to recover. And the question was, like, recover from what? And I realized a non-trivial amount of that was dehydration. And so I have this now ritual where it's like the first thing I need to do after I wake up and weigh myself is I need to hydrate, because that seems to be a significant challenge as well. On top of all that, I've been meal prepping for myself quite regularly. It has been actually really kind of nice for eating to be a simple thing nowadays, where I invest the time to make something that will last me a couple of days and then incorporate it into my daily routine. It's definitely working quite well, and it's kind of crazy in the sense that, like, it's a feedback loop. You know, you get out of the habit of meal prepping and then you're kind of improvising, and then it gets challenging, and then that stresses you out, and so then you make suboptimal decisions. I'm glad to be on the positive side of that spiral. I'm glad that I am finally at the point where the idea of cooking for myself in general is not intimidating and it is actually quite automatic. It's something that I do find establishes a certain level of baseline comfort and safety, I guess, that makes me feel better day to day. It's nice when I don't really have to negotiate with myself and, oh, what am I eating today? It's like, no, I have a plan that I'm following. And part of this is that, like, the high protein milk that I've been enjoying lately actually was on sale lately, so I got a ridiculous amount of that. I definitely stocked up and will probably continue to if the sale continues as I get through it, but that's gonna take some time. Another area which I am continuing to expand is cooking, because I've noticed that egg whites are pretty decent as a diet food. They are great protein per calories. They're also great protein per dollar, which is a metric I certainly care about during this process. And so I have been trying to think of more interesting ways to have more egg whites rather than just thinning down scrambled eggs with more and more egg whites. And so first I tried making cloud eggs, because honestly they look kind of cute and I was curious about the texture. And the ones I made turned out pretty good, honestly, as one of my other novel cooking projects. It was certainly fun to make and definitely something I would consider making for friends and family as a nice little treat. But ultimately, I also tried another similar twist of cooking the egg whites in muffin tins. Generally, it's like useful to add other things to it. Like I could add different vegetables and whatnot. And then you can just have like basically like snack size omelets. But I instead decided to continue to whip them so they had the consistency of the cloud eggs. But I also added stevia, which is somewhat cheating in this regard. So it's very sweet. And I can honestly say when you have really well whipped, like you really want to make sure it peaks, like you want to make it of the right consistency. If you bake that in the oven when it's mixed with stevia, you have what is effectively a diet protein marshmallow. And maybe I used a bit much stevia, maybe I should be careful with how I deploy that particular recipe, but honestly, it was very nice. It was like, wow, I haven't had something that sweet that wasn't like a berry or something in quite some time. So that was pleasantly surprising. But ultimately now, I have settled into a comfortable routine that is working for me. And I think that's actually somewhat the answer to one of the things I've been thinking about lately is how do I make this fun? Is I think part of the answer is building routines that serve you and create the kind of existence you want. And I think this is where it gets quite hard because, like, I think many people are too critical of others for having suboptimal routines. I mean, it's very easy to get off kilter. It's very, I would find, at least in my experience, it's very easy for many of these things to get destabilized by stressors and other chaotic events. And I've realized that the challenge of protecting, caring for oneself on a, you know, basic functional level, in maintaining that in difficult times is actually a pretty significant challenge and actually something that certainly does not come easy. I think one of the things that makes it hard for people to kind of understand this is I think for whatever reason, people have varying levels of self-abandonment. Some people, for whatever reason, learn that, oh, if I just put my, you know, basic human needs aside, things just kind of work better until they don't. And then you're kind of stuck in this vicious trap of, why am I struggling with these things? And everyone's like, just do the thing. Just do the thing that makes your life better. But I've realized so much in this process that it takes focus, it takes energy, it takes time to rebuild that baseline if you've lost it. And I think one of the reasons a lot of people, and I've certainly been there myself, kind of get stuck in this negative, vicious spiral is that it becomes hard to remember why things are so hard when you're so used to compromising on your own needs, when you're so used to not protecting a baseline of being what you need to be for yourself, it's actually very easy to forget what that looks like. And I'm certainly very aware of that, where in the sense that, like, I'm currently doing meal prepping, I'm getting a lot of steps, I'm sleeping very well, like, arguably I'm doing everything right. I just gotta, you know, clock the hours and put the, you know, routine and let it run. But the thing is I'm noticing that that's very fragile. It doesn't take a lot of stress to completely destabilize. And I'm realizing that the real fight is figuring out how to constantly rebuild that when things kind of get difficult. And I think that is an extra challenge that I guess, for whatever reason, a lot of people, I guess, don't understand very well. Maybe, I don't mean a lot of people as in like the people listening to this, but I mean a lot of people as far as people in general. Like if, as somebody who's ingested a great deal of weight loss advice and commentary, I notice a lot of it talks as if getting back on track in some of these cycles is simple or easy or just something you can kind of just do. And I think one of the reasons I'm hesitant to really grant that now, I don't know, maybe as I continue on, I'll, you know, get assimilated into that mindset, but I don't think so. Because what I've learned in this process is that focus and time and energy are all very precious resources. And I realize that just like when, you know, financial troubles get, you know, the public to take on more debt to pay for essentials and whatnot, I think there's kind of other versions of that where like stress and chaos out in the world causes people, not in every individual case, but on a kind of like larger scale picture, people will kind of absorb those shocks, because I think like most people are just trying to do the best they can. And some of these small, you know, sacrifices feel like good trades at the time. Like, oh, you know, I'm just going to have something easy today because I'm just trying to get through this difficult work day, which was really what kind of really kept the ball rolling for me as I was entering the workforce. It's the kind of thing is there's so many small little trade-offs that build up over time. And so I think on some level, this isn't actually necessarily a maladaptive pattern that itself is bad. I think it's actually somewhat normal for people to be able to be flexible and make, you know, changes when things happen. But I think what has kind of gone on over the last couple of decades is there has been this unending campaign of big picture disruption that has caused a lot of destabilization and chaos in people's lives. And so unfortunately, I think it is a safe prediction that these health problems will get more and more prevalent and severe as time goes on. And when I think about how hard it was to get the ball rolling when I was really starting this journey, I really realized that like part of the difficulty really was the fact that it's like in a lot of ways, it's very easy to get pushed outside of your capacity to deal with things, especially if that capacity is shrunk for whatever, you know, personal reasons. And I'm realizing that there are both positive and negative ways to increase your capacity for discomfort. And what's hard somewhat is that I think there is kind of this difficult endeavor where we have so much judgment and, you know, kind of shaming language around people, you know, struggling to meet these forces. And a lot of this has come from the fact that it's like, I really tried thinking about what it was like to be at my highest. How did I get there? And, you know, what was it really like, oh, I just got, you know, super tough and I finally fixed everything. You know, it's like, I don't feel better than anyone else who doesn't make it, you know? And to confess somewhat, I do feel a bit of survivor's guilt on some level. I feel like I am nothing but a statistic in survivorship bias. I mean, I'm glad I've done this and I'm glad I've come so far and I'm excited to continue to push forward. But there is a nagging part of me that is concerned that so much of the idea around health and wellness, especially online, is kind of geared around the people who can do it for whatever reason. And I think that's kind of an illusion, because I actually do believe anyone can change in the way they want. I just think there is a complicated equation of, well, what capacity do they have? What are the things draining their capacity? And ultimately, how much support is available? I think it really shouldn't be shocking to people that we are constantly complaining about how atomized and alone people feel day to day, and how we feel so disconnected from each other. And that, yeah, guess what? There isn't a whole lot to pick up the slack when people feel abandoned, when they feel alone, when they feel isolated. And I will say, when I really think about what has helped me the most in this process, I have really noticed it's the generosity of people willing to show some support and encouragement. You know, it took a long time when I was at the gym and people would say, oh, you're doing so great. It's so great to see you putting in the work. And you know, it took a really long time for me to even let that in, for me to even be willing to take that seriously, because for so long, I was so drowning in the shame of being as big as I was. I was drowning in the shame of feeling useless and the shame of feeling like a problem fundamentally. And so I really somewhat have a bleeding heart for me at my highest. I have talked to some people who look at themselves at their highest and they will say something along the lines of like, oh, that person was so, you know, insert range of negative things. I'm like, no, I think we really should be grateful for the person who kind of kicked the process off. And I think the only way to actually truly move on from the challenge that this is to have some kind of humility and understanding that there are people who can be in those situations. And I think it's important to remember what it was like to be that big, why things were so difficult. I think it gets way too easy to take things for granted. I mean, I'm already there. I'm already taking for granted how easy it is to go for walks. I'm already taking for granted how fun it is to go outside and do things. And it was a hard-won victory. And I think in many ways, it's actually hard to remember how hard a fight it really was, which is somewhat of a frustration because lately I have not been able to stay on top of my technical projects as much as I would like. In fact, due to some haphazard rushing trying to resolve some issues on my self-hosted services, I basically messed up my Docker databases hosting a couple of my services, my PeerTube video host, as well as my Mitra Fediverse instance. And so both of those are down, and unfortunately I'm kind of realizing that I'm ultimately going to be taking a step back from self-hosting for a while. But I'm down, but not out. That is definitely something I hope to and plan to return to after I make some progress on some of my other projects. What's effectively happening is that I am rationing the time I have for tech stuff just to complete my programming projects. Due to the chaos of things that have been going on around me and the difficulty of the injury, a lot of my, you know, interesting projects such as the RSS reader I'm trying to build and another project that I want to get started have certainly languished and been somewhat abandoned. And so I want to get back into it, which will require more of my spare time and attention outside of what I'm regularly doing in this weight loss journey. And so basically, I'm going to be much more focused on that rather than maintaining a bunch of services that it would take me a significant amount of time to get back up to speed on anyways. So with that out of the way, the major thing is that I have a couple of ideas for new pieces coming out moving forward. I want to continue to write. I'm really enjoying the process of getting ideas that are in my head out there. On top of it all, I am pleased to report that I have made progress on some of my technical debt. I have moved some services around because unfortunately, my setup was optimized around me being home all the time so I could fix things. And now that I am not home all the time, that has kind of caught up with me in a couple of ways. I unfortunately lost some databases, which made me lose some services, which I would like to bring back at some point, but ultimately I don't currently have the time to get things back quite to where they were. But I am glad I have restored I2P functionality to my websites. For those of you who aren't aware of what that is, I just think it's very important to serve a website not just on the regular internet, the ClearNet, but also the more privacy-preserving overlay networks such as Tor and I2P, and that's why I spend the effort to make that happen. But I've realized in reflecting over my latest technical difficulties and the problems I'm having is that ultimately I should invest some time and care into building tools to make what I really build for myself when I have the time to like play around with it and manage it, but make it in a more easy and packageable fashion. And so in addition to continuing to work on my RSS reader, which I have not had too much time to work on since I've been really pushing hard on the sleep and steps, I am trying to gently and patiently encourage myself to get back into programming regularly so I can work on both of these projects that are very complementary. But I'm also realizing what I need to really train myself to do over the next little bit is I need to encourage myself to program. For instance, right now, especially now that the weather is nicer, I am going on more walks, and more walks is great, but I think once I hit my minimum steps, I should certainly push myself to decompress with programming. And so that is a mental shift I am going to be working on over the next little bit, because for now, I will admit I struggle with, like, I generally kind of wait till like the motivation and opportunity and the free time kind of all overlaps, but I'm trying to get myself somewhat disciplined in the programming area. I want to get to the point where I'm doing it every day, like I walk every day, like I'm working on the many of the things I'm doing. But I put out a post recently, just a short note, in response to a tweet I saw talking about how Sam Altman wants his brain to be scanned so that he can live forever digitally. And it's funny because I've been somewhat exposed to like the longevity cult because I've been trying to learn all I can in my health journey. But I've also always been, you know, quite aware of the digital immortality cultists because, well, technology has been a big passion for me. And I remember listening to the, you know, rationalist cultists basically talk about how cool it would be to scan our consciousnesses and live forever on the internet. And to me, I always found this idea somewhat silly because I like personally believe like metaphysically that just can't work. I actually don't think that extracting whatever data you can from people's brains and turning it into a cute online chatbot, I do not think that is in any way a continuation of that person's existence. But in reflecting on this and kind of like chewing on some ideas that I've had in the back of my head, especially in regards to like medical ethics and a lot of the things that are going on these days, I also realized that there's actually a really dark consequence to claiming that somebody who is functionally deceased, as in their body or brain has actually been taken apart and destroyed or otherwise discontinued, there's actually some pretty horrific implications of saying that that person is still alive just because we have some chatbot emulating their existence, because we have something that in theory continues on a essence of them one way or another. Now, the way I've always thought of this is that to any degree that the product of that process can be called alive, I consider it a derivative product. It's not the actual original work. It is a remix of something that's already alive at best. That's like my most charitable interpretation of that process, given the metaphysics involved. And so anyways, but the dark side of this fundamentally is, if we count somebody is still alive when they undergo this process, you effectively create a scenario where you have defined death out of existence. And I think there are some very horrifying and troubling implications about what that means in terms of morality and like what can be done to people. And so I am now way more suspicious than I ever was of these digital immortality cultists. And I think this is something that, honestly, people should think about more. I think we should be more skeptical of the narratives put before us. I think they are playing around with different ideas than what, you know, your average person who hears that, say, on the radio or on a podcast somewhere. I think there's some disconnect where it's like some of this is metaphor. Some of this is trying to explain different phenomenon that's going on. But the other side of it is I also think there is this process in which people's understanding of things is altered by telling these stories. And so specifically when it comes to death, I'm very horrified about the fact that the giant corporations that are doing everything they can to define us, they are trying to say, oh, we know your interests. We know, you know, your wounds. We know, you know, what kind of things motivate you. Therefore, we can create you or your loved relatives in a virtual form. And so this double whammy of them claiming to be able to define who we are based off our online footprints or whatever, on top of the idea of basically being able to like undefine death in people's minds, that is a pretty gnarly and nasty combination. And so I guess it's something to think about in terms of like these bigger picture discussions about, oh, there's this quirky sci-fi concept that people can live in computers. And I'm realizing that that idea is not as harmless and quirky as it currently seems. And it turns out that there's actually a lot of sci-fi that talks about this. This isn't a particularly new idea, but I worry we are probably getting closer to that being a practical concern than something far off in the future. Because ultimately, I really have to express the fact that a big part of why I'm doing this on some level, why I think my own personal health matters, is I'm realizing that many of the things that keep people trapped are traps. They're not like random accidents. I think there's a lot going on the big picture that definitely puts people in these situations that it's very hard to disentangle themselves from. I've been thinking about the fact that there is this very unintuitive dynamic when it comes to weight loss, because I am at the point where numerically losing weight at my highest was so much easier than it is now. So somebody could argue that it is harder to lose weight when you are closer to a normal size. You know, it's harder to lose a pound of fat when your calorie budget shrinks and you've got less to play around with. But I'm also noticing that once you're like, again, as big as I was at 570 pounds, basically a prisoner in your own body, the tools you have at that point to balance that equation are so much more limited than what I have now. I'm realizing that to truly recognize where I'm at and whether it's harder or easier, I think that's not necessarily a fair comparison, but I actually think with everything I've gone through up until this point, I actually have way more tools in my toolkit to do this now than I did at my highest. I have built relationships with knowledgeable people who can give me advice on many things. I have reorganized my life around being much more active. I have definitely gotten used to various different active activities that now I can walk longer without even thinking about it. And I have built up so many cooking habits and familiarity with all these things that, as I've said before, it really does feel like I am just running the program that old me wrote. You know, it's like old me put in all the work to kind of build these circuits, and now I'm just letting them run on some levels. Weight loss has been challenging. And in fact, over this winter, as things got very stressful and I was more pressed for times, things were very, very challenging. It felt like a real serious fight. It felt like the hardest time I've had in this entire journey. But I think two things are happening there. One, I'm taking some gains for granted. I'm taking for granted that going for walks is just something I do now, but also the fact that some things have changed. I've reorganized things in a way that now I am outside of the house a lot more. So that changes how much time I have available for things. And that does take some getting used to, but I'm realizing that all the extra tools I have now are fundamental game changers in this whole process. And so, yeah, I think fundamentally that on some level, it does get easier. And that was something I was kind of wondering with myself. I'm like, when does it get easier? And I can certainly say it definitely gets easier when it gets more fun. I'm glad that winter is over and I no longer have to deal with the shadow of cold and frustration. I'm glad I get the benefit of being outside comfortably. Like right now, I'm walking after a long shift and I get to just do this for fun. I get to just walk around as long as my heart desires and record these cute little recordings. And that's something I enjoy. I really enjoy doing this. And this isn't something I could do at my highest. It would have been way too painful. It would have been way too arduous. It would have taken so much out of what was already a highly shrunk capacity. And so I guess to try to make some kind of hopeful takeaway from all this, is I think wherever you start in your weight loss journey, that's kind of the hardest it gets. I don't think it ever gets harder than that. Yes, the numbers change. You will not lose the same amounts of pounds per week or per month as when you began. Things like that's probably not a realistic expectation depending on how long your weight loss journey is. But I actually think there should be some acknowledgement that when somebody has gotten particularly off kilter, that is a point way far outside of the orbit, that like getting back to where, you know, living a healthy life is so foreign and alien, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy. And I think it's important to realize that not everybody has the same capacity. And I feel very blessed in the sense that I was able to find a supportive community that definitely means a great deal to me. I feel very lucky that I had the ability to have some savings to launch into this. I feel phenomenally blessed that my other half has been so supportive and patient with me, certainly up to the point of getting that bad, but also in helping me turn it around. I mean, that's certainly a lot to ask of anyone. And so I'm kind of realizing that this hasn't all just been me. And I think I've been pretty upfront about that, but I feel the need to emphasize it because especially now that I am finally at the point where I do feel truly transformed on so many different levels. I'm not just talking about the fact that I am a different shape. I am talking about the fact that my life day to day feels fundamentally altered in ways that I enjoy now. I am so happy to be where I am, and it makes such a phenomenal difference. And to be somewhat compassionate to people who are, I guess, harsh and impatient in the whole health space, I can say, having experienced that shift, I can understand why you would want to push everyone you know as hard as you can to get them to experience the same thing. I can certainly appreciate and understand that desire. I think the only thing that separates me from somebody who is enthusiastically doing that is just the fact that I understand somewhat how hard, one, it is in extreme cases, and that I do know that it does take time. It does take time for things to change. And so I'm just very grateful that I've been able to do this and I've been able to share it. And I'm so thankful that I've gotten the support and encouragement that I have up until this point. And again, at the risk of sounding entirely hubristic, I am actually thinking it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. And I know that's a very easy way of jinxing it, but I'm excited for spring. I am excited for the summer ahead. I'm even excited for fall. I think that now that I've already got rolling, I'm already at the point where there is just so much to look forward to. I am so excited to take the energy I have been building up to build this healthy life, to throw it back into my passion projects. I am so excited to really become more of what I've been trying to be this entire time. And it is something that means a great deal to me. And so all I have to share at the moment is that things are going quite well. I am pressing on, and I am very much looking forward to catching up on my technical debt as things move forward. And I have definitely lots of ideas for articles coming out. I have a guest post coming out for the Liber Solutions Network soon. I got a great email from somebody with a very interesting idea that I look forward to sharing soon. And I really just want to thank everybody for the encouragement and support I've gotten up until this point. I really do appreciate anyone who has given this any time at all, and all the emails and kind words I've gotten over the years now has certainly meant a great deal. And I just honestly feel like I'm at the point where I can say, like, look, something real fundamental has changed here, and it's nice to take stock of it. And it's so invigorating. It's so weird to think about. Being able to actually go out and ride my rollerblades was something I never thought I'd be able to do. And certainly at the start of this, it was something I wouldn't have believed, even myself, saying, oh yeah, I've got to do this at some point. So I'm very happy to be here, and I'm very happy to have you along with me, either just tuning in now or, you know, the many people who have been checking in on this since the beginning. I'm very happy to be at the point that I honestly can say I feel like I am a decently active person. I am no longer confined by the way my body was, and I am looking forward to continuing to get stronger and to continue to carry less on me as I make all the changes I'm working on. And I can say, I'm starting to enjoy this. I am starting to be at the point where having the time to do this and things being arranged in the way I have, I do feel very lucky. I do feel excited for where I can be, but I'm also humbled by the fact that I know it was a very difficult start. And I have been revisiting some of the early days content and recordings I've made. And it really shows me that I have changed a lot in really fundamental ways. And I'm trying to remind myself that I should be just as excited for the road ahead as I was up until this point. All that to say, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have an excellent one.